This is the December 5th meeting of the Governance Committee of the Pacifica National Board. I'll ask our Secretary, Colleen O'Brien, to call the roll. I'm George Ryder, the chair of the committee. Colleen?
Ken Aaron? Sharam Agamir? Carolyn Burden?
Present.
Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Bill Crozier?
Here.
Kathy Davis? Sasha Futron? Joseph Kay? Lucette King? Bob Letter? R. Paul Martin?
Here.
Brenda Medina?
Here.
Colleen O'Brien? Here. Marcel Reed?
Here.
George Ryder?
Here.
Tracy Rosenberg?
Here.
John Wenger.
Okay, that's 10. That's one more than we need for quorum, so we can begin the meeting. You should all have the agenda. It's a continuation from the last meeting, but it does include approval of the agenda. So we have two motions. One was postponed to the PNB from the PNB. It was a motion by Kathy Davis. Tracy had submitted, and you should all have, came through GovList, a substitute for that. That would be the first item on the agenda. The second item is a motion rate disagreement of staff to pursue internal means of settling disputes. A motion or agreement of staff to pursue internal means of settling disputes. Joseph K. proposed that, but will perhaps not be here tonight. Is there anything else that people want to put on the agenda? Okay, well, hearing nothing then, is there any objection to approving the agenda then? Okay, the first item would be approval of minutes. I sent them out November 7th, I believe. Is there any objection to the minutes as they were sent out?
Hey, George, it's Bill.
Okay, Bill, go ahead.
The only thing I noticed was I think it said something about that we approved the previous two sets of minutes. That you might just mention the dates of those in the minutes so that's clear what we approved.
Oh, okay. So I'll add dates to that statement in the minutes. Okay. I will make that change. Is there any other objection to the minutes? Okay, hearing none, then they'll be approved, and we'll make that change. And I will publish them, actually, put them up on the KPSD website for the meetings that did occur. The chair's report. We did have the motion that we passed last time, which had to do with problem of people being unwilling and stating that they're unwilling to abide by confidentiality in executive committee meetings in committees and subcommittees of the board. That motion was actually passed. And so that is now the policy of the board, that they must recuse themselves if they are not willing to abide by the standard of confidentiality that we proposed in that motion, which was that whatever the committee or subcommittee in executive session rules can be made public, and nothing else can. So it sticks in my mind that there was something else that came up that we postponed. That's right. There was a motion with regard to events at KPFK and the program director search there, but it became moot, and we simply tabled that. The meeting concluded, I guess, right after we passed the motion. So I would guess this motion could, in principle, come up at the next meeting, as since we were still dealing with the governance committee. However, that's up to the PNB. So in front of us is the motion as it was passed through to us by the PNB, and I'll read it, and then, Tracy, I'll ask you to read the substitute that you're proposing. Be it resolved that any person or member of the Pacifica Foundation that acts with malice and or violence and or levies threats, either verbal or physical, against Pacifica staff or members of the LSB or PNB, should be disqualified from membership and participation in Pacifica governance. Further, any person or member of the Pacifica Foundation who acts to limit or undermine the fundraising and or function of the Pacifica Foundation or its radio stations and broadcast licenses should be disqualified from membership and participation in Pacifica governance, and that any person or member of the Pacifica Foundation who acts to undermine, counterbalance, destroy, or limit the Pacifica bylaws should be disqualified from membership and participation in Pacifica governance. Tracy, if you want to move the substitute, I'll recognize you now, and you can read the substitute.
I don't mind reading it. My understanding was that Bill was going to go ahead and move it. Bill, are you in a position
yeah.
to read it at
yeah,
this point
right.
in time? Okay,
yeah,
then
right.
if it's okay, I'm going to cede that space
no
to Bill.
I'll recognize Bill to do that.
Thank
it
you.
It was sort of a joint effort anyway. Several people added suggestions. You want me to read it?
Yeah, for the stream.
Okay, and then Tracy did email it out to everyone this afternoon that's on the committee. So,
is the version that's emailed out the latest version, or are you going to read something different?
No, it'll be the same.
Okay.
You sent it out a few hours ago. Okay, whereas the Pacifica Foundation should be able to protect itself from individuals who may have a record of harmful or malicious behavior toward the foundation or any of its members, be it resolved that the following categories of people are not members of the Pacifica Foundation in good standing, as defined in Article 4, Section 2A of the Pacifica Bylaws. And then this quote is from that section of the bylaws. Any listener sponsor member in good standing, except radio station management personnel or foundation management personnel or staff members, may be nominated for the position of listener sponsor delegate, unquote. One, and this is the listing of categories who are would not be in good standing. One, individuals whose actions have been declared by a court of law to be breaches of fiduciary duty or breaches of the duty of loyalty or the duty of care. Two, individuals who have been separated involuntarily from foundation employment for cause. Three, individuals who have been banned from station premises due to threatening behavior or creating an unsafe environment for others. These restrictions on delegate service shall be publicized on the Pacifica website. The foundation shall make an effort annually to inform the membership of these restrictions through a combination of email, broadcasts, and mailings. If an individual not in good standing submits an application for delegate service, the general manager of each station or their representative may review the application to determine if the individual applicant falls into any one of the categories that would deny them the ability to serve as a delegate. Any individual who is determined to be ineligible for delegate service per these restrictions shall be provided with full due process rights to be notified of this decision and to appeal it. This policy does not apply retroactively to already seated delegates for the duration of current terms of service on local and national boards prior to the adoption of this policy, unless they commit a new act that brings them under the provisions of this section. If a determination is made to deny an individual delegate service or remove an individual from delegate service, the individual in question should be notified or must be notified 15 days prior. The reason should be included in the notice. Notice required under this section may be given by any method reasonably calculated to provide actual notice. Any notice given by mail must be given by first class or registered mail sent to the last address of the member shown in the foundation's records. Individuals whose denial of delegate service is pending have an opportunity to request a hearing. The right to request a hearing and procedure for requesting it shall be included in the notice. If the general manager or the representative reaffirms the decision to deny or remove from delegate service after an evidentiary hearing, the individual may appeal the decision to the executive director of the Pacifica Foundation. If an appeal is requested, the executive director may schedule an appeal by whatever method of communication seems reasonable, including a telephone or video conference as well as an in-person hearing, And there's a typo there. It says telephone of video. It should be telephone or video. If the executive director upholds the decision of the general manager, that decision may be appealed to an arbitration panel, provided the individual pursuing the appeal waives their right to pursue legal remedies in court. Pacifica is under no obligation to provide an arbitration panel for an appeal to a ruling of the executive director if a waiver of legal remedies is not signed. In the event an appeal for a pending denial of delegate service is successful, delegate service for said individual will be reinstated. So that's the motion. And just in summary, the idea was to try to clarify and clean up language, that some of which may be a little ambiguous or possibly we want to make sure it was not contrary to the bylaws or to California Corporation Code. I think this does it. The main purpose is to protect the foundation from people who may want to try to get even with Pacifica, and the criteria is pretty specific. There's a nice appeals process. So I move that we substitute this for the motion on the floor.
Bill, may I ask a question? Did you send this out?
Tracy sent it out this afternoon. It was a kind of a joint effort.
Oh, it's the same one Tracy sent out?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Is that Lydia?
Okay. It's on the floor and open for discussion. Would anyone like to speak to it?
This is Lydia.
Okay.
So the bylaws are clear, and it's really easy to get rid of members. I realize not to the extent that this motion purports. I will be voting against it, by the way. I think that it goes beyond what the bylaws had in mind, and membership, how you qualify for membership and how you are removed from boards, etc. There's still too much left to the imagination, and it still, you know, can be used too politically. But more than that, I think it's foolish to pass such a motion without having it vetted by council, and we just take that opinion in and dismiss it or take it to heart, whichever. So I will, for all those reasons, be voting no on it.
Anyone else want to speak to this?
Carolyn on the fifth.
Colleen.
Okay, good, Carolyn.
Thank you. I think that the point is well taken, that it goes beyond what the bylaws envision. The bylaws do not envision a whole lot of things that we have come up against. And this is an attempt to fill in the gaps. I think that anyone who's been at stations where we've had problems with violence will understand why we really need this motion. We can't. I think it will not lead to politicization if people pay attention to how it's implemented, and it's much less likely to lead to politicization of the issues than if there were no such motion, because that leaves it open to really anarchy and power blocks and so on. So I think having something in writing to fall back on, we can always get clarification. It will come before the PNB, and by that time, the full PNB, and by that time we could have legal counsel give us an opinion about it, probably more legal counsels than we would care for. But never mind, we'll have definitely have opinions. To kill it now means that we would have no chance of refining it or reinstating it. So I will definitely be in favor of it. And I, from coming from a station where we've just been so blocked in our ability to do work by people who are so out of control, I really ask you to pass this motion. We can amend it, we can trim it, we can do whatever we need to, but we definitely need some way to address what goes on at some of our meetings, which is just disgraceful. Thank you.
Colleen?
Yeah, my understanding of either motion by Kathy Davis or Tracy Rosenberg and Bill Crozier is that even if we didn't vote on this and pass it tonight, it could be brought up again in a new form at another meeting. Is that correct?
Well, it depends on how we dispose of it. I mean, if we vote it down, it could be reintroduced at a subsequent meeting, yes. If we postpone it, it would be on the agenda perforce at a subsequent meeting.
Pass this, Mr. Chair, George, if we pass this tonight, either of these motions, I'm not clear on where it goes from here.
Well, all of the motions from the committee have to be, these are recommendations to the PNB for action. So they would go to the Pacifica Board, and they would be considered by the Pacifica Board. If the board approved of them, they become policy. If it doesn't, they could either send it back to us for, reworking, or they could just vote it down altogether, in which case okay. It's in for the time being.
Bill, I guess this is a question to you. In your motion, you talked about the court of law. What exactly do you mean by court of law? If a court of law deems breaches of fiduciary responsibility or a station banning a person from the station premises, what do you mean by court of law?
Well, I guess it could be any court of law. I mean, it depends on the attempt is to kind of be generic. I don't know if it's necessarily a civil district court or whatever, and courts in different states may be called something different. I'm not clear what you're asking about, though. Sorry.
Well, I'm not sure what a court, if we're talking about it was determined in a court and a judge decreed that, someone illegally, say, broke into a station, or is it just someone from the station or someone calling the police and making a report?
Tracy for the stack.
Well, you want me to answer that? Or try to?
Okay, Bill. It was addressed to you.
Go ahead. I'll just be on the stack, but I will say something about it when you get to me.
Yeah, okay. Well, the idea is just to, this whole thing is because the bylaws don't define what in good standing is. So what this is, the whole purpose of this is to try to define what in good standing is. So we don't get people who are obviously obviously the kind of people who wouldn't be interested in working Pacifica's best interest on our boards. And so the part about the court of law, it just says individuals whose actions have been declared by a court of law to be breaches of fiduciary duty or breaches of the duty of loyalty or the duty of care. I don't know of anybody that's been declared that way. I don't think there has been. But if there was, I don't think you'd want those kind of people on the board if a court of law of any court declared that. That somebody was in violation of, their fiduciary duty or that sort of thing.
Okay. And your motion, Bill, just one more question, if you don't mind, Mr. Chair. In your motion, are you talking only about local station board members who have been elected by the community, or are you talking about everyone, including management and staff, being held to the same responsibility of nonviolent physical or verbal action?
This only refers to people who may be nominated for a position of a delegate. Listener-sponsored delegate. So that's in the first paragraph. So, you can be a member in other ways, but if you want to be on the board, this is what it would apply to.
All I'm saying is that if we're going, and I totally agree that we need to have something that clarifies if people are being physically or verbally abusive at our station, collective stations, but it should be the same across the board for everyone. Thank you.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, good point. Thanks.
Tracy?
A couple of things. Let me try to address some parts of Colleen's question first, and then I'll say what I was going to say before. There's specific language in the California Corporations Code, which is what sort of governs Pacifica, about the responsibilities of board members, and delegates are all members of the board or one of the board's committees. It's specifically called fiduciary responsibility, a duty of loyalty, and a duty of care. And what it basically means is if you sit on a board, you are obligated to act in the best interest of the foundation whose board you sit on. If you don't want to do that, you should resign from the board. So those are kind of legal terms, and the idea here was to you know, tie the specific allegations that might potentially result in the loss of a seat to something besides just accusations of badness. Because, you know, lots of people accuse lots of people of things, and it doesn't mean that they've done them, and it doesn't mean that there's any evidence. And a court saying this person really has acted in a way that was destructive to the foundation they're supposed to be supporting is a kind of an objective criteria. So if there are arbitrations, if there are lawsuits, there's something to sort of hang your hat on that's specific. So what we were trying to do was kind of break down specific things that were trackable. And basically a decision by a judge that there's been a breach here of the duty as a board member is a pretty concrete reason why you wouldn't want someone to be a board member, because they're breaching their duties. And being fired with cause is a specific thing that happened. It doesn't mean that someone can't be fired for being a bad development director and still be a good board member. But it does mean that there might be feelings that they would be bringing into their board work that could not necessarily be helpful. And again, it's an objective thing. And the same thing with being banned for an act of violence or making an unsafe work environment. That's a fairly concrete statement that there's a problem here. So the idea was to tie it to specific things and not get in a situation where accusations are the only thing that is sort of tying any such action together. So that's kind of why it was worded the way that it was worded. In terms of the motion, again, I want to say that these are concrete things that track to specific lines of California Corporations Code that sort of assure that we're not erring on the wrong side. And that these decisions, if they have to be made, and one would hope that they wouldn't have to be made, but we'll see, are based on something that's defensible and sound. In terms of the procedures that we have in our bylaws for the removal of board members, I mean, they've been a disaster. We have never had any success with them whatsoever. They've just created fights and cost money. So in a sense, we need a clearer interpretation of what not in good standing means. And we need board removal processes that don't get bogged down in basically the inability to act, which is sort of where we are. So to me, this is a fairly straightforward response to problems that we've really had that couldn't have been anticipated when the bylaws were written, but that allow us to act in a way that's consistent with California Corporations Code and consistent with the bylaws, but not be paralyzed when we have a problem. And no entity should be at the mercy of individuals who are acting to destroy it. I mean, that's craziness. And in a sense, as directors, we're obligated to try to protect the foundation from that. So I think as long as we hang our hat on specific criteria that clearly indicate one is not in good thing, we're doing something positive. So within reason and to a legal review, I support moving the motion forward.
Sasha for the stack.
And you're already on, Sasha.
Bob okay. For the stack.
And Bob. Okay, Sasha.
Okay, so as I read point number one, it says individuals whose actions have been declared by a court of law to be breaches of fiduciary duty or breaches of the duty of loyalty or the duty of care. It does not specify that is within the Pacifica world. Is this out in the broader world as well? So a divorce disagreement, Homeland Security, I don't know. I'd like an answer to that question and reserve the right to make a comment depending on the answer.
Did you want that as a point of information for the...
I'm just asking the writer of this, Tracy, I guess, or a group of people, they are not spelling out that in point number one we are talking about breaches of within the Pacifica world. It sounds like any kind of court that it anyway ever found someone having anything to do with a radio station within Pacifica or Pacifica itself has breached, has been involved in any of these breaches or lack of loyalty, would be declared persona non grata in the Pacifica world. And, you know, if you have that much faith in the U.S. government and courts, so be it, but I don't.
Okay.
Carolyn on the stack here.
Anything else?
No, I'd like to know if this is meant for, you know, any court anywhere having nothing to do with Pacifica, that somebody would be found as a breach of duty of loyalty or a duty of care or a fiduciary responsibility, or if this only applies to the Pacifica world, because that is not spelled out in point number one.
Ken on the stack.
I think what I'll do is I'll allow the people who are, let me take that as a point of information. And
okay,
just
sure.
As,
and then maybe I'll get back on the stack to make a comment then or whatever. But
no,
I may want to respond depending on what the answer is.
What is the intention there? Bill? Or Tracy?
I'm sorry, I don't understand the question.
The question is, in part one, it says individuals whose actions have been declared by a court of law to be breaches of fiduciary duty or breaches of duty of loyalty or the duty of care. Is that with regard to such breaches with regard to Pacifica, or does that include they were on some other nonprofit and they were found to be...
They don't even need to be on a nonprofit.
Or in some other context, they were found to be, by a court, to be guilty of those things, or one of those things. Would that be within the purview of this intention to include such people in making them not members in good standing?
Well, it doesn't say explicitly, but yeah, I would think it would be obvious that if somebody was found guilty or declared by a court to be to have breached the duty of loyalty or duty of care or fiduciary duty for another organization, that they wouldn't be, they shouldn't be considered a member in good standing of Pacifica either in terms of being eligible to be in our governance.
So you wouldn't want Mumia to be in governance if he got out of jail, and you wouldn't want, I mean, I can go through all kinds of people.
No, Mumia wasn't declared by a court of law to be.
All right, a duty.
The breaches of these things. It doesn't say anything about conviction of a crime.
Well, Bill's answer, at least. Next on the stack is Bob, and then Ken. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Carolyn, and then Ken. If I missed anybody, please let me know now.
Marcel for the stack.
Okay.
Am I next, Carolyn, here? Or?
No, Bob is next, and then you, Carolyn.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bob.
All right. Well, this motion is completely wrongheaded from top to bottom, and it's an open invitation to political abuse. If you start from the fact that that you're using in number two the criterion of separating someone from employment for cause. Just within Pacifica alone, you know, never mind all kinds of other nonprofits, there have been many, you know, disputes and in some cases lawsuits and even out-of-court settlements that have determined that people were separated for cause illegally. And so you're here through this provision, you're sanctifying any decision by any manager anywhere in Pacifica and saying if they separate anyone for cause, then that's it. That person is absolutely disqualified from ever serving on a board within Pacifica. Never mind how arbitrary that was, never mind how illegal, never mind whether it might have been the product of some sort of forbidden form of discrimination, it's legally prohibited. We can go on and on, but that's a frightening power to entrust to management. Similarly, number three, about individuals who've been banned due to so-called threatening behavior or creating an unsafe environment for others, There's also a long history in Pacifica, in particular, of this being abused by different managers at different stations over different times to simply purge political opponents. And it's also alarming that as many people have been working hard to try to attain some modicum of due process for those who, to this day, as we speak, there are 12 people at WBAI, both staff and listeners, who have been banned, not a single one of them with any due process, and yet this motion doesn't even require that there has been due process in that banning decision, again, made by management. And the history here is that it's been done against political opponents. We also have to remember the history within Pacifica of what happened 12 years ago in a battle that many of us now on these boards were part of, which was against this kind of pro-corporate, very repressive group that had taken control of the board that used bannings and firings as one of their main, as among their main tools of removing dissidents. And this would motion, if adopted, would just bring us back full circle to those bad old days when the national board empowered management to basically dictate who could be part of governance and who couldn't with a blank check. So that's extremely dangerous. Then we have the fact that the section about retroactivity does not apply to already seated delegates, but it does apply to those who might be in the election process at the time this is adopted. And so these are people who applied and qualified under the then current rules as to who can run for the board in good faith. They were certified by the election supervisor to have met the qualifications, and suddenly in the middle of the game the rules are changed, and some of those people might be subject to not even being seated, let alone removed, which is, you know, a violation of every basic legal principle about ex post facto, not imposing rules retroactively. And then there's the question of the existing checks and balances. I mean, part of the gain of the bylaws that were under, the 2003 bylaws, was that for the first time there was accountability for people sitting on local and national boards. There was both very clear removal proceedings and procedures, and also recall procedures. Now, I know it was earlier mentioned that supposedly those have been bogged down. I mean, often what's happened is that people on local or national boards have attempted to interfere with or frustrate the exercise of these provisions. So to the extent they've been bogged down, it's often been for that reason or for simply not following the procedures that exist. So that really needs to be, I think, left in place as the ultimate check and balance, is that there's a proper procedure in the bylaws to remove people for any kind of violation that is deemed rising to the level that someone is no longer suitable for the board. And similarly, the recall process has that built in. And then the final point is that this is in fact a bylaws amendment in disguise, and it should not be accepted as a motion, because in fact it does what one of the provisions on amendments talks about, which is materially and adversely affecting a member's rights as to voting under these bylaws. And by removing the right to run and therefore be elected and vote as a board member, it's a bylaws amendment. And in specific, the clause I read is from which type of amendments must be subjected to a vote of the entire membership. So it's not even just an ordinary bylaws amendment. It's one that would have to go to this full-scale vote. So for all those reasons, this absolutely should be rejected, and is just opening the door to many, many forms of abuse.
Tracy for the stack.
And Lydia,
I have Carolyn, Ken, Marcel, and then I'll see if there's anyone else who hasn't spoken, and then after that, Tracy.
Carolyn here, just addressing some of the points that were just made. I disagree that this is a bylaws amendment. It is within our scope to introduce policies and procedures that implement the bylaws, and clearly the phrase in good standing needs clarification, and I think the PNB has the right and the responsibility to clarify what that means, and this amendment certainly helps to clarify that. So far as the question of legal due process, I think that people who have been adjudicated either by the general manager or an LSB as being dangerous or having engaged in activities which are dangerous to the foundation or the station or to the status of the station or the good working relationships, I think that the management certainly has the right to determine that some people are toxic, and there are recourses for that. And if not, I would really ask Bob to introduce some language that would give us some amendments to that effect. But I think that, above all, we really have to protect the station from people who are deliberately disruptive, and we certainly have a lot of those. Unfortunately, Bob and I are from the same station that has had some sad experiences with that sort of thing. So I don't think that the problem is abuse by management. I think the problem is that management hasn't had the tools to control the relationship and protect staff members and protect meetings from people who are totally out to disrupt management and disrupt the workings of the station. So I think that Bob's complaints about this sort of thing could certainly be addressed with amendments to this motion, but I think that some of them may have to wait for a legal interpretation. So I would suggest that we consider this motion carefully, and if it needs to be amended down the line, that's fine. Killing it now would mean really returning us to the bad old days, and I would like that not to happen. Thank you.
Ken?
Hi, this is Kathy. I'm on the call.
Hey, Kathy. Ken, you there?
I'm next, right? I apologize for not coming in. I had a previous appointment. And I just want to make one point of order before I make my statement about the motion. There was somebody when I came on just prior to Bob speaking who was going back and forth violating the concept of the queue. And it's that kind of behavior that we're trying to address here. The governance body is an entity. It's the Pacifica National Board, and it has a right to set rules so that it can survive and function. It is a body, and we cannot get anything done if we don't abide by a certain agreed-upon, stipulated decorum. In the mission, in the bylaws, the mission statement, and below that it says that the station, I don't have it in front of me, abides or supports the concept of peace and social justice, and all people participating will be in accord with that. Those people who don't agree with peace and social justice and are willing to implement intimidations, threats, force, violation of confidentiality, and verbal and written abuse of other members that are destructive to the concept of a committee, the Pacifica National Board, those people have to be handled. And experience has shown that we don't have adequate corrective actions in place to handle that. And that's the idea of this motion. No, we don't need to have those people functionally on the board. The things, the behavior that's being excluded here is appropriate to be excluded. And it's for the benefit of the larger group of the Pacifica Foundation, the network, the stations, the listeners. Those are very important. And for the Pacifica board itself, it has to take care of its own health and therefore has to have curative measures for aberrant behavior, which is destructive to the committee, to the body that we represent. So I support this, and all of this, you know, whether it's legal or this or that, that'll be hammered out later. But, you know, you got to look at experience, and you got to look at the misbehavior that's occurred at various in-person board meetings and the violation of confidentiality and other actions which have occurred by board members towards Pacifica as a general subject or towards other members of the board. We want to be civilized, not chaotic.
Sasha,
come back.
I
support
the most.
Put me at the end.
I heard Sasha and then Bill, was it?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Tracy. I also wanted to be on the staff.
You're on. It's Tracy, Lydia, Sasha, and Bill, and I'm going to take a call for anyone who hasn't spoken yet. Marcella, you're next.
Okay, well, just very quickly, I wasn't around 12 years ago, so I really don't know about this protracted battle, but I certainly have heard about it a great deal. But I can tell you that since I've joined the board 4 years ago, our local station board voted to have one of our delegates removed because of continued disruptive and destructive behavior, and the PNB overruled that. Recently, as recently as a couple of months ago, we had some very derogatory language used, and there was no standard for what to do about the person who used that derogatory language. It was a protracted process. There seemed to be no one who knew how to go forward with it, even after we reviewed it in the bylaws 4 or 5 times. So if there's a very direct, prescribed way to handle people who are very difficult on the board, it may be a fact, but it is not practiced. It is certainly not practiced at WPFW, because we have board members now who currently sit on our board who talk about the fact that they can shut our station down in a couple of weeks. And I think that this motion goes too far, but I think that our bylaws don't address this adequately, clearly enough that people can use it. And I have been victim to both attacks on email, attacks on the air, absolute untruths spewed, and there seems to be no process in place to handle that effectively or efficiently. So we need something, but I would say that this does need to be reviewed by council because this goes too far. But what we have does not address this adequately. Thank you.
Is anyone who hasn't spoken yet would like to speak now? Well, I would. I think Bob is right, certainly about the fact that as it's written, if this were passed by the PNB tomorrow or on the 13th, it could be used to deny the seating of people who had been elected under a different set of rules and a set of understandings. And so I think someone who wants to see this passed needs to put some amendment in there to make it clear that that's not the intention, if indeed it's not, which I suspect it isn't. I also want to say that this is not intended to be a code of conduct. We could maybe use a code of conduct. We had one at KPFT. I think it was actually effective in reducing the conflict level, reducing the level of bitterness, and certainly expressions of contempt and disdain for others. However, this is not that. This is, as the people who are supporting it, and I'm not really sure where I'm at on that yet, I made it pretty clear. This is intended for when the behavior is clearly identified, what do we do about it in order to protect the foundation from being sort of at risk from continued attacks from these people who have shown by these three things, one of these three things, that they are somehow their actions are antagonistic to the foundation. I think Bob's point about possible misuse is also true. I mean, people have been fired for cause who may have felt that they were acting in the best interest of the foundation, in fact, and may in fact have been acting in the best interest of the foundation, but wasn't seen that way by the people who fired them. So it's a bit dicey around that, and you could say, well, okay, the foundation at the moment is the management at the moment, and what they say in terms of who's prevented from coming into the station, we'll have to go with them because they're our management, and if that's really antithetical to the long-range interests of the foundation and the mission of the foundation, then that's going to have to be worked out in the courts somehow. But for the moment, as far as this policy is concerned, we're going to go with what our management says constitutes either you're being fired for cause or threatening behavior or creating an unsafe environment.
Tracy,
you're next.
Kathy, I'd like to speak if I can.
Yeah, go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. I just wanted to point out in this situation, it's very, you know, there may be issues either way. There are questions either way. But the fact of the matter is that there are people who have become involved in this organization who have been violent, who have been hostile, who have created a situation that, in the long haul, I believe is partly responsible for why we're in such a bad place overall. And I just think that we have a responsibility to allow the foundation to continue in such a way that people can expect to be treated with basic decency, that there should be a level of compassion and consideration that we need to have for each other, and that does not exist at this time. And it goes further. You know, it might not be the same for someone who is not in that particular situation, but I tell you, I was in a situation for many years in which I felt absolutely tormented, and I felt that I was treated with an enormous amount of cruelty. I suffered a great deal because there were a large number of people who felt that I should be targeted for one reason or another. And I'm not the only person that's gone through that. And whatever there may be in the court cases and, oh, well, maybe they shouldn't be fired or this or that, whatever that is, I'm not saying that people shouldn't take remedies with a level of care, but at the same time, to do nothing is where I see the crime. You know, so for this board to continue to turn its back and to not acknowledge the kind of abuse that takes place in this network, you know, I mean, I just don't know what to say about that because it's very real. You know, it's very real. And we have a responsibility to stop that. And I believe that this motion gives an opportunity to stop that kind of behavior. And a person who is engaging in that, in an abuse, they need to be removed. But that's what they're engaging in. If it can be proved, instead of having people within the network, staff and other people within the network, have to tolerate that kind of abuse year after year after year, it really has to be stopped. And that could just as easily be where the lawsuits are coming from. And very often it is where the lawsuits are coming from. It's coming from people who have been subjected to crap by people who are in whatever pseudo power base they have, whatever job they have. People tend to feel like they can do anything, and it's got to be stopped. So I just think it's irresponsible to do that. Thank you.
Tracy, then Lydia, then Sasha, then Bill.
And Bob. Bob again for the stack.
Okay. Tracy?
Yeah, I'll try to be brief. One thing that I think one has to remember is that there is no absolute right to serve on a KPFA Pacifica board or on any nonprofit board. And there are, in fact, many other things that people can do with their spare time. I think any nonprofit association looking around would be a bit terrified board filled with people that they fired and people that they banned from their premises for threatening others and creating an unsafe environment. To have crafted bylaws that don't prevent that from happening is to have crafted bylaws that frankly need some, that have some big holes in them. And I think that it's important for us to recognize that that's not a recipe for a workable organization. It's just not. I mean, the parameters that we're defining here really are pretty set. I mean, you don't want people on your board who have been found by a court of law to be in breach of their fiduciary responsibilities and their duty of loyalty and care. Those are people who, for whatever set of reasons in a litigious situation, have been found to be failing to perform their board duties. You certainly don't want people that have been banned from the premises for threatening the safety of others. I understand the issues with being fired for cause. It's a complex question, and I expect that there are probably individuals who resigned rather than be fired for cause, and I'm sure that there are individuals who were fired for somewhat trumped-up reasons. These things happen in organizations. However, most nonprofit organizations do not solicit their boards from their previous employees who have left their employ. That is not a recipe for a successful board or for a healthy organization. And if there's been a severance or a parting, it's actually a good practice to get some distance between the organization and an individual who, for whatever set of reasons, left on negative terms. That's healthier for the employee in question, and it's healthier for the organization. So in terms of this motion, it seems to me that what we're doing is we're dealing with an organizational culture that's been pretty self-destructive and that's essentially been not able to lead the organization in a positive fashion and needs to because, guys, we're in trouble. We're not financially doing well. We're losing listeners. I think we have to pay a little bit of attention to what would create a healthier culture within the organization. And I think defining being a member in good standing as being someone who is not in court, did not leave the organization on negative terms, and has not been banned from the premises for violence, is a pretty rational interpretation. That leaves many, many thousands of people eligible to be on our boards. And I think probably what we want in board members is for it to be somebody else. Our board should not be composed largely of people from those three categories.
Lydia.
Okay, well, obviously I support everything that Bob said, and it brought to mind some of the instances of back in the day and in the late 90s and early 2000s. Number one is that one of the most infamous words was insubordination. Wholesale firings taking place in Pacifica for insubordination, which is for cause, but there wasn't cause. So you could be perhaps even held up. But
in you know, some legal form or whatever. But it was in response to that sort of action that these bylaws and those sections of the bylaws were crafted. It's not like after months and months and months and months of discussing the bylaws that these issues that you are raising in this motion were not raised. Of course they were raised. And there wasn't a will by everybody who had just come out of that horrendous environment at that time. So I don't think that there's anything that this motion would do except to invite all kinds of litigation if applied and if applied unevenly. I do think a code of conduct, which is what George said has been successfully used, that's a separate issue that addresses more of what Marcel was saying. But to deny someone membership is a very serious offense. It is what takes us to court every time, and I strongly advocate that we not go down this road. As I said before, I will be voting against this motion tonight. This makes it to the PMB, the same there. Thank you.
Sasha.
Yes, I just want to say, I'll try to be short. I just wanted to say that I really support what Bob had to say and what George had to say and what Lydia had to say. And I think, you know, there were some comments made about this can be amended down the line and that would be fine. Well, no, we shouldn't be passing something that we think might need to be amended down the line. That isn't fine. We're doing this to clarify language and to fill holes in our bylaws. We should not be creating new ones while we're doing that. It does seem that, and I... You know, it does seem that Pacifica and our stations individually are very much involved in a political war, and I don't think that this is going to resolve that war, nor do I think that you can mandate good behavior and decorum. I think I have no doubt that everyone on this call, and I hope you understand myself included, believes that to be extremely important, and the behavior at times is really horrendous, but you really can't legislate that. We have, you know, with all of our volunteers and so forth in the five stations, you know, we have over 1,000 people, and in that 1,000 people, you are going to have a few that are not going to have the same standard of decorum, and you deal. You don't legislate things like this. The other thing I want to say in terms of point one, which I still have problems with, it does not even say individuals whose actions on other nonprofit boards. It just says declared by any old court of law. So that means that somebody arrested in a demonstration, which you would support, and who was not doing anything violent, which I think we all saw with some of what happened with Occupy, could be found guilty of, you know, a breach of duty of loyalty given our U.S. government, and they would not be eligible to be on our board. Bradley Manning would not, the leadership at Wikipedia. I mean, stop and think about people who have taken stands at risk to themselves to breach what might be considered a fiduciary responsibility or defined by a court as a duty of loyalty, who we really respect. But they would not be allowed on our board because they are not good enough for us. We should be as good as some of those people. Thank you.